Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Elite Physique University. It's been a minute. That even sounds weird to say because we took a nice little break. I'm John Gorman, one of your hosts today. We've got Kayla in the house. Kayla, what's going on? How are you?
Good. It's going good. Surprisingly, North Dakota has been very warm this winter, so I'm not complaining whatsoever. Other things I guess I've been up to is I started offering more posing for clients, and I filled that pretty quickly in just a couple of weeks. So figure, bikini, wellness. I even have a first-time men's physique competitor. He's 19, so that's super fun. And then just had a few clients starting prep. So that's just kind of been where I've been, traveling a little bit, doing some family stuff. While we took our break. So it's been nice to just kind of be chill for a little bit.
Yeah, I want to shout that out real quick. People can always, any information you need about any of us or guests or anything like that, you can always go to the show notes. Kayla always has everything very systematic and put together. And Kayla's working with some of my clients on posing, and I've got more that I'm going to be sending her way. So very, very good. Very, the thing about posing coaches, a lot of times they start talking to clients about their diet, their peak week, and all that. You don't have to worry about that, obviously, with Kayla. So I'll be sending a lot of people her way. So check out the show notes. Jason, what's going on, man? You're looking nice and lean. I know you're happy that it's a little bit warmer. What have you been up to last few months?
Oh gosh. Lots of different things. Speaking, revamping the team. Spoke early this year, John, with yourself, Hybrid Health Summit and in Nashville, and spoke with Tara there as well. And then as far as Scooby Health's going, a lot of new changes going there. We've hired new coaches. We've hired a COO. We've hired a director of happiness. And I'm just trying to reorganize and grow. And we've done that. We've about doubled since December. So that's been cool. The hormone clinic's killing it. And Scooby U just kicked off. That's my last piece that I'll tell you. And if you want to hop in it, we've only done the intro. So if you hear this week, I don't know when this is going to drop. You can still get in.
It
And
dropped pretty quick.
then, yeah. And then there's one personal piece that's new. I took off about 3 weeks from training, and I entered into a group to learn how to day trade option contracts. Something I always wanted to do. You can, if you got a nice hunk to start with, you can definitely make $10,000 to $20,000 a month doing it, and supplement your income. And you might work 2 hours for the day. So, definitely something I want to learn. I was a trader back in the day. I had my Series 7 and 63. So, I have a leg up on people that are getting in. I know what puts and calls. And I know all these different things and charts and different things. So, I'm just putting some old knowledge to use. And I think it might be something I'll want to do as I get, down the road. So, about it.
Yeah, very cool. I'll keep it real quick with me. I'm sitting in our new headquarters here. I've got logos plastered all over the walls. So happy. We doubled in size. So fat muscles growing like crazy. And like you, Jason, we've been all over. I spoke at three events and over the course of about 4 to 5 weeks and drove to all of them. And that was exhausting, but I love it. So I'm still to the point now where I'm recovering from that, but I love it. And that's what I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about speaking today at some point. We'll delve off onto that on the side. But other than that, I've been keto for 3 weeks to clean up some
Yeah,
A1C.
did the same thing.
Unfortunately, yeah, I know you were keto back whenever we spoke in Nashville. I've been keto since a week after. Just real quick, we're going to do a pretty good deep dive into some other stuff coming up, which I'll talk about soon on cholesterol. But one of the meds I take, in a small percentage of people, your A1C just happens to take a bump. And even on low carbs and being pretty strict, my A1C jumped from 5.6 to 6.1, which is a pretty significant jump. So
I'm
the
good.
only thing I can do on my end, I already take metformin, take GDA every day, is just to go keto and to see how much I can get it down. So unfortunately, with cholesterol meds, sometimes there's some side effects you have to avoid, but it's the nature of the beast. But before we introduce our guest, very special guest, which we have been extremely picky being bringing someone on to talk about coaching coaches and talk about from the business standpoint. So I'm really, really excited to get Taylor on here. I do want to tell people about some changes coming up. Elite Physique University for this year is going to change. It's going to be completely different. We'll still have some podcasts like this that we do, but we're going to start a master's class series. And that's going to be something to where if you tune in on YouTube, you can still listen to the podcast like you do now. But if you tune in on YouTube, you're actually going to see us presenting PowerPoint presentations, just like you would get in a class. And we'll do those to cover topics like we cover on a podcast. And our very first one to kick it off is how to maximize your testosterone levels. But you can expect things like a thyroid deep dive, HIIT versus steady state cardio, advanced training tactics, all these different things that we want to talk about with PowerPoint as our presentation. That's going to be different. You just don't see that at scale. So if you're someone that likes to learn, stay tuned, because that first episode is going to drop a week from now. And this episode that we're recording today is going to drop tomorrow on Thursday. So definitely a lot of cool stuff coming up. But, you know, enough of that. Jason, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, because you know her more than any of us.
Yeah, for sure. So Taylor DeHaze is on the show today. She's owner of Fitness Coaching Academy, FCA, and she does business coaching for coaches who need help to get their whole processes together, generate leads. Really, I kind of think she takes them from infancy all the way up to mastermind if they, you know, have that and desire that. I've spoken with Taylor on panels before. I've spoken at her event, which is awesome, top notch. And she's also a client of mine that I've helped through weight loss resistance. So I know Taylor really well. You know, I think she does a really nice job in this space. And that's why she was offered to come on today to talk about that. So without further ado, Taylor DeHaze.
That was beautiful. I was like, how is Jason going to introduce me? I was ready to hear it. But yeah, in a nutshell, I take a very different approach to business coaching. And I know we're going to dive into stuff and I'm not here to sell or pitch, but essentially I do take clients from, you know, client number one, all the way to their first seven figures. We do that primarily in a very organic model. I'm not pushing click funnels. Jokes aside, John, I have that photo of you and I forever. That will be a meme at some point. It's not going to be in the show notes, but it'll be somewhere. Anyway, yeah. I'm excited to dive into business in a way that I think is very practical, realistic. And so anyway, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So typically what we do is Kayla steers the ship here and she's got show notes and she is ready to take this. And, you know, we'll all chime in from time to time and maybe ask some questions. But Kayla, if you are ready to go, girl, this is yours. Take the reins and let's get into it.
All right. Awesome. So we're excited to have you. And again, I was there in Nashville when you did your presentation. So it was awesome to hear that. So I'm glad that we can share this with all of our listeners now. So I guess like just starting out, like give us a little background of like, how did you transition, you know, to helping coaches? Because I know you still do help just some online like fitness clients too, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've never given that up. Right. And I think that's really important in the space. And there may be a day where that changes, you know, but ultimately, if I'm going to be specialized in the fitness coaching space, then it's really important for me to continue my education as well and keep working with my clients. Now, I'm not actively taking on a ton of new clients. Usually what happens now, which is funny now that I've gone through this, but I'll have a business coaching client and I can tell that they're stressed and they're not progressing. And I'm like, give me some labs. And it's like, I'm helping, you know, my coaches who are like adrenally screwed, fix their shit so that they can actually perform in their business. So, or every now and then I have a client right now who's actually in my program, FCA, where she's like, I really want to compete. And I'm like, cool, like, let's do it, right? So I get clients that way, but yes. So long story short, I was a investigative TV news reporter, which is how this, that's like the weirdest transition ever. But I was always, you know, calling in sick to go to the Olympia or whatever. I was working with Lane Norton as my coach at the time. Any of my free time was spent just obsessed over fitness and the industry. And so I feel like I've been involved in the industry for close to 15 plus years, just not in a way that I was getting paid for it. So in 2019, I started my fitness coaching business. And the easiest thing I can say is that within a year, we scaled to over a quarter million. And then people just kind of started asking me what I did and how I did it. And after some one-offs here and there, I was like, I think I have something, which is how I basically utilized these mentees to create a 16-week framework, which is now my signature coaching course. And then I was like, well, how do I get them further? And then that's how the mastermind was developed, so on and so forth. So that's in a very nutshell, like how that all kind of happened.
Absolutely. No, that's super cool. I think it's awesome that you had that background to begin with and then brought that into your own coaching and your own experience versus like, I know a lot of other business coaches are just like there to give you sales tactics and all this stuff, you know, and
yeah, there's a lot of people in this space too. And I'm sure like, you know, Jason and John, you guys can say whatever. And this is not like even at any person, but the business coaching space is just as saturated as the fitness coaching space, and it's only getting worse. And now there's like manifestation coaches and life coaches and like a coach for how to put your fucking shoes on. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's something out there for it. And I think that's why there's so much skepticism with like business coaching. Like I hate having that title, but like it is what it is. And I think there's also a difference, and you guys can correct me if you want, but to me, there's three levels of it. There's like a coach, a mentor, and a consultant, right? And that's kind of how my evolution is with my clients as they keep scaling upwards, right? Like a consultant is like, I'm literally in their business. I'm doing things for them. My team is involved. Whereas like a coach is guidance, accountability, support, things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, there's people now that are starting business coaching containers and they've never made $5,000. I'm like, what's happening? Like you didn't start a fucking business. Like, I don't get it. So I totally understand. Or like these business coaches that like have no idea what to look at on a lab. And I'm not the expert, like Jason for sure is, you know, I know my spot in that space, but ultimately, like if you don't know how to help a client and get them results, you know, what I see happen is, oh, well, maybe it's easier to make money as a business coach. No, it's not. The stakes are way higher, right? So it's like, it's not the easy way out. And it also should not be, your goal listening to this should not be, oh, if I can become a business coach next, or if I can start mentoring, like, no, you can scale a 7-figure business with one singular offer. You don't need to be a business coach.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just gonna point something out here. One of the reasons why we've been hesitant is there's so many people out there. The only thing they built is a coaching business. And the nice thing about you, and I'm talking about coaching other coaches from a business standpoint, it's easy to fake the funk on social media. And it's easy to really, like, people can build a beautiful website. They can do all this stuff. But whenever I got to hear you speak for the first time, I really paid close attention. And I actually paid attention to you listening to me give my talk at the Hybrid Health Summit about how to organically grow a 7-figure ecosystem. And I wanted to just kind of see a little bit more about you and see about how organic you were in the beginning and how you've actually applied these things over time. And you've been the coach, you've done all of these things, and you scaled your business up. So I just want to vouch for you before we get too far in, because we have a lot of people, they're going to hear business coach, like you said, and they're automatically going to think, and they just kind of dismissed it. And I'm not going to lie, you were on Excellence Cartel. And I am so turned off by the world of business coaching the last few years. It took me a while to listen to it because I didn't know who you were. So I know that Jason's vouched for you, and Kayla, I just want to vouch for you as well. Everything that you put out in your presentation in Nashville was like aha moments. There were things I was like, shit, John, you need to do better on this. And I took notes. So I'm really excited to do this deep dive.
I appreciate that. And I will say, in giving that talk in Nashville, I'm not somebody who's nervous to speak. What I was nervous about, though, is I wanted to make sure I had a message that hit home, because when you're in this like old school bodybuilding arena, you guys hate business coaches more than anyone. It's just like this old school way of thinking. And I don't know why or how. I think it's because so many of y'all scaled a business without having, like, it was all messy action. Nothing wrong with that. Same with me, right? But, you know, when I say things like CRM or KPIs, you're like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? And so yeah. I think that when I came into that presentation, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I'm not selling you shit, but I need to make you very aware of what's going to crack and break in the next year or two if we don't fix it. And so I think your audience 100%, like, it makes sense to me, because a lot of the gurus that everyone looks up to in the bodybuilding space, right? There wasn't an app for check-ins. Everything was via email and Google Sheets and all of that. And that's how I started out too, right? Like, I think about working with Lane Norton or Cliff Wilson. Check-ins were emails, you know, plus 5 carbs. Like, that was my check-in. Okay, cool. And I was fine with it. But everything is so advanced now that it can easily be skewed, like Kayla was saying. Like, you don't know what's BS and what's not. And I know you'll dive into the organic versus paid stuff at some point, so I won't even hit on that yet.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. So I think with that, like, you know, most clients don't even know it's possible, or are too scared to say that, like, they want to make their first million, right? Like, even me, I'm like, I don't know if I can make a million. Like, I would be happy with less, kind of thing, but it would be awesome to get there, you know. And I think part of that is limiting beliefs with a lot of people too, and what they can do in their business. But like, talk about, you know, your clients, because I think you had said your clients made almost 6 million combined in 2023. And then like, what's the true percentage of business owners that actually make it to that $1 million mark?
Yep. So
it's not much.
Yeah, we love that statistic. So just to start out, if you are listening to this or Kayla, right? Like if anyone thinks to themselves, I want to make $1 million, you're not going to make $1 million because you're focusing on the wrong thing. Like the money is the byproduct of all of the other shit that you're avoiding. And we get so hyper fixated on what we could do, should do, would do, want to do that we don't fucking do, right? So like, do the shit. You know what I mean? Like we can't get hyper fixated on what we're not doing. People often ask me like, how did you make $1 million in 2 years? That's so fast. I agree. I'm also a psychopath. And like, I'm in my DMs every morning. Like Jason can tell you from a client standpoint, there has literally never been a time where I have not done what he has programmed me to do. Like to a fault almost, where there have been like typos and I'm like, well, it says extra this, I'm going to do it anyway. Like literally I will do whatever the plan says. And so I think number one, I want to differentiate between willpower and why power, right? So willpower is, of course, you know, the motivating factor, but that's going to fade on the days. Like if you can't do it on your shittiest day, it's not a habit. Whereas the why power is what is driving you to do the thing, right? And so when you first start your business, typically you have no money, you have high debt, you can't get a credit card, your credit score sucks. We all come from this shitty background. And I came from hella scarcity mindset. Like I watched my dad, you know, hide money in drawers and we would make fun of rich people because we'd never be there. So like, I didn't have money. I had $825 to my name when I started my business because I made $30,000 a year with a master's degree. Woo! Awesome. So when I first started, money was the driving factor. I had to, or I would have to like get another job in TV or move with my parents. And I'm like, absolutely not. But once you've got, in my opinion, 3 months of bills in your bank account, that's when I would suggest you quit your job. When you have 3 months of expenses paid, everything feels good. If everything crashed tomorrow, that's going to give you the flexibility to really go full time. Once you start to get client results, then it's like, what do I need to enhance my efficiency and capabilities? That's where you look at the stability in terms of recurring revenue and all of that, right? But in terms of like the $1 million, I think it's more of like, what the hell is the vision? But you don't know that yet. First, you need to get the client repetitions. And once you start to see patterns, like, wow, I've really helped like 30 people get pregnant. I've helped 25 people heal their adrenals. Then that becomes your niche. That becomes your thing, your stick, right? And then it's like, how do I take that bigger? Is it a team? Is the vision like, man, when I roll up to a, you know, bodybuilding show, everyone sees my logo on the bags. You know what I mean? Like, what's the vision? For me, I didn't know what the hell it was, but I saw myself on a stage. I saw myself with a microphone on a stage helping others, right? I didn't know it was business coaching. It was accidental. But ultimately, to your final question, how many people, right? Like only 4% of you will ever make $1 million. That is it, 4%. And of the 4% that do, it takes 5 years to get there, which is literally why my mastermind is called Path to 4%. Like it takes a lot. And so I think that we get really frustrated and because we're seeing all these people saying like 0 to 10K in 90 days and, you know, make your first 50K in your first year. And you're gonna have crazy people that are of course moving fast, but as long as you are increasing your floor and your ceiling simultaneously in small increments, you're golden. Like there's no rush. There's literally no rush because Kayla, if I gave you a $1 million business in your lap today, I promise you, you probably couldn't maintain it. And I don't know much about you, but like that's most people, right? Because you don't have the experience managing the money. You don't have the experience with the team that's required and things of that nature, right? And the whole more money, more problems, like that's a thing, right? Like problems just change. And I think that we assume that if we have more money, these problems go away. But in reality, there are different problems. So right now, you may go into a spiral if a client quits. Oh my God, how do I enforce my contract? But then in 2 years from now, it's going to happen more frequently, right? The problem then isn't that. It's like, how do we find the perfect setter for my DMs or whatever it is, right? And I always like to say, you know, decisions when I first started business were like $1,000 decisions. Now I am making six-figure decisions. Like you have to move at a pace that you're uncomfortable with. And that is the secret, in my opinion, to scaling in any capacity is I have never once felt comfortable ever in my business. I stay uncomfortable and I know if you're going to be able to scale based on your level with discomfort. Absolutely.
Can you do something for me real quick? People are going to hear the word mastermind and they're going to have this totally negative view of that. Just like if Jason says flush or detox, everybody thinks they're fucking taking all this weird over the counter stuff. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if Jason explained, you know, flushes, detox, the whole nine yards, like it makes sense. Right. And there's a very explain what people need to understand about the term mastermind and what that means to you.
Yeah. And I think that my definition might be different because there are definitely clients. I joke that I'm like the rehab business coach. I get the people that have already been burned by somebody else and are like, please help me. Like that's usually what happens. And so my version of a mastermind is a intimate high touch container that has a level of one-to-one, but there is a group element. And the group isn't to say that you're all getting group coaching and all of that. For me, like I treat our calls almost like coming to a boardroom meeting. Like you are expected to bring documentation, questions, project updates, all of that to our calls. But then we also have one-to-one meetings on a monthly basis, right? And the higher you scale your business, the less group and the more private there gets, right? So technically my private clients are like in the mastermind, but it's truly private consulting with the element of that. So that's my definition of a mastermind. If you're just in some group container that somebody slapped the term mastermind on, that's not what I would consider that.
I think that's super helpful explanation of that because I can say I've been in that scenario and I've been that person that's been burned and I'm still paying for it. And so I totally get it.
And that was a mastermind you were in?
Yeah, well, it's called a boardroom.
Oh, got it. Say no more. Yeah. So with the other thing too, just because we're on this topic, because a lot of you listening, like if you're looking for a coach or whatever, I don't allow anyone into my mastermind unless they're making six figures, but there's a lot of like, ugh, around courses too. And so I think it's important to differentiate that because if you are the face of your company and you are selling a program and then you get in that program and you don't talk to that coach, there's a problem. Like I am coaching my clients in my course a minimum of 2 hours a day. Everything is reviewed by me. Everything goes through me. You're working with me directly. You're just not going to have the one-to-one calls and things like that. You have to earn that, right? And so I do have a team of coaches that work with me in that capacity, but I think that's important too, because the horror stories around masterminds and courses are very endless.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So before we get to that $1 million mark, like obviously getting to that first 100K is like a really big deal too. So I know you have like a six figure foundation checklist. So do you mind going through that with everybody?
Yeah. So, and it's so funny because I'm like, I don't have a checklist that I'm just gonna like regurgitate or like a list that I hand out, but when you're looking at just building a six figure foundation or even a seven figure foundation, people that are making seven figures are just doing the basic shit better, right? Like that's really what it is. And so when I think about the basics, all I need you to focus on is getting really, really good at providing one transformation really, really well, right? So that's the first thing. Number two, I want to make sure that your marketing is dialed in. Again, that doesn't mean you have to have a camera or anything fancy, but you have an actual strategy. The amount of coaches I talk to that just accidentally made some money, got a lot of pay infuls and don't really know how they did what they did. That's not a six-figure business. You had more luck than some other coaches. And that's not to discredit what you did, but you're not ready to scale that, right? Like you need to know to get to six figures. You need to know, at least for a strong foundation, how to take somebody that is totally cold and close them, right? So I know there's like, oh, cold DMs, right? Like I get it. There's a way to do it that's gross and there's a way to do it that's not gross. But a lot of you are not going to come in as new coaches with a lot of followers. Me either. A lot of you are not going to come in with a ton of referrals. Me either. A lot of you are not going to come in like having any idea of how to reach out to strangers on the internet. Same, me too, right? So it's just about discovering that. And I think that's doing some due diligence on sales psychology and understanding that DM process, which again, I'm not going to cover unless you tell me, but I would say sales, marketing, and delivery are priority. Do not worry about ads, a logo, a website, any of that bullshit. You don't need it. All of the flashy stuff that you're hearing. The whole thing with ads, like I really hope that anyone listening is not spending money on that because a lot of the gurus will tell you that's the way to scale. Ads are high risk, high reward. However, if you don't have excellent marketing skills, email sequencing skills, you're not ready to turn content fast, like don't do it because yes, you'll get leads, But if you can't close them, who cares? If you can't dial in your audience, who cares? You're wasting money. Organic is slower, but low risk, no risk at all, right? So I think there's this, again, stop rushing the scale of your business. Like that really is the biggest thing, is like people are playing the fast game, not the long game. And I know Jason and John can both say the same thing, but like, I'm here to help you create generational wealth, not fast cash.
Yeah.
Like you see these business coaches saying like, oh, my client made 50K. Can you show me their stuff in like 6 months from now? Can you show me what they're making a year from now? Cause I want the after. Cause like Jason and I healed adrenals and all of that, I don't know, a year and a half ago, but like I look better now a year and a half later, right? Like show me the after. How did I, as Jason's client, maintain what he taught me to keep going to then add the extra level, right? So I think that's really the six-figure foundation, is when you get really good at this and you add something else, this has to still get better. You can't just kind of leave it there and keep going. And I think that's what happens, is as a business owner, we neglect the foundations thinking we're too good for it, right? But as coaches yourself, that would be like, oh, well, I reached my weight loss goal, I guess I'll stop drinking water now. Like, what do you fucking mean? You know what I mean? Like, we have to relate this to what we're doing as coaches ourselves. And we kind of forget that. Like, if a client comes to you saying, I want to heal my adrenals, and Jason's not going to say that's going to happen in 3 days. He's going to say it's going to take, he vividly said, this may take us 18 months. Even though he knew in his head, maybe not, but he had never worked with me. I could have been a crazy person who wouldn't, you know, stick to my shit. So it took us 6 months, but like, you know, that's my point. It's like, we look at business so differently than changing our body. And like, it's no different.
Right.
I like to under promise and over deliver. It makes me look better.
Absolutely.
I have a question. So in the six figure like foundation, which obviously you got to build before you can even talk about your mastermind, what are the three biggest problem patterns you see? Like, if you had to name the top three people that come to you and you just see it over and over again, and you're like a repeating, you know, doll, what are the top three?
Number one, people think I'm kidding when I say to get in their DMs, or they don't do it. Like the amount of times where they're like, oh, I'm not landing sales. I'm like, well, that's the result of building a sales process. So like, have you reached out? Oh no, I still haven't done it yet. Okay, cool. Well, like we have to do it, because again, you're not going to get the leads. This idea that like, I'll just post content and like people will find me. No, they won't. No, they fucking won't. So the outreach, there has to be outreach, right? There is a reason that billboards work. There is a reason that cold calls work. Even if we don't want to admit it, they do work, or we wouldn't be doing them. And so there is a way to do it that's not gross, like I said, but you have to send some damn DMs, right? I don't care if it's Instagram or Facebook, but figure out where you're going to start. The second thing is there's this like different, I don't know. It's like people have expectations, but their output doesn't match, which kind of goes hand in hand with what I just said. But yeah. I think that because again, the space is so saturated, like everyone right now needs to unfollow business coaches, or at least follow one or two that you really trust. Because if you see like 8 or 10 different people, you're going to get all their ads. You're going to get conflicting messages. Like the best thing I ever did was never follow a business coach. To this day, I still do not. I don't want to see what anyone else is doing. I don't want to second guess what I'm doing. I don't want to see it. Now I follow my coach, but that's really it. And then the third thing I would say, comparison. We're constantly comparing ourselves to where Jason is. Like the amount of times, Jason, I hear, well, how can I charge that if Jason doesn't charge that? I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like you can't compare, right? Like, I don't think it's, oh, someone's been doing it 20 years, you can't charge that. I think it's like, hey, Jason was undercharging for 15 of those 20 years. So like, who gives a shit? And he'll openly say that, right? So yeah. I do not push my clients to charge 4-figure monthly investments. I don't do that. That's not my style of coaching. However, if you're like, oh, I'm charging $100 and I'm scared, please raise your prices. So, and that kind of goes hand in hand with the other problem I see, is people lowering their rates because they hear no, when in reality, they need to master their sales and their marketing skills. So I think there's just that, that's kind of like the three main things that I see with new coaches.
Yeah, no, those are good.
Definitely helpful. So to kind of jump around to that, from the 6-figure to 7-figure. So to make it to 7, what are some of the things you don't need that everyone else is out there selling? Like you kind of mentioned on the ads, like, is there anything else, like multiple offers, or like, do you need to have a big team to get to 7 figures, that sort of thing?
No. So I always like to explain two paths to get to seven, right? So number one is the assistant coach route. So a lot of coaches are like, I really want this big team. Now, if you don't want a team of ACs, do not think you have to do it to get there, but you're probably going to have 250 clients on your roster. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's the reality of it. But if you're like, I don't really want to manage people, I don't want to do that, then you don't want a seven-figure business. That's really all I can say there. So figure that out, because I don't think anyone wants 250 clients. So that's the first path. Jason's like, been there, done that. No, thanks.
Not quite there, but I've been high, and it's the way to bring your health down real quick.
I maxed out at 75. Okay. Like that was my max. And, yeah, the other path is building something additional that would be like a course or something like that is a high ticket course. Now, I'm not talking about something that funnels into your one-to-one. I'm talking about like, you know, okay, I'm really freaking good at contest prep. I'm going to create a course that teaches coaches how to be excellent at peak week, which no one's done that yet. Someone should maybe do that. But you know what I mean? Something like that, where they're selling it to other coaches who will pay them $5,000 to $10,000 to master that skill, right? But to bring in something like that, you need to stack that MRR as high as possible and pause for a second, because this whole course thing is going to take you a minute. So if you don't have a predictable funnel, this MRR that you're used to is going to drop and you're going to have a panic attack, right? So again, maintaining that foundation. In terms of team members, all you need for seven figures in terms of like personal team would be a business manager, probably a virtual assistant, and then a setter. So somebody in your DMs that is setting appointments for you. Those are the three things I would suggest. You can always get a little in the weeds with, you know, maybe foreign hires. Like maybe you want to hire somebody to do your graphics or whatever. You don't need a videographer. You don't need an editor. You don't need to do any of those things. I was very late in the game, but the whole thing with video is so many studies show, because I know this is a question that I get is like, wait, I need to hire a video editor. I'm like, you're barely making $10,000. No, you do not. So, you know, sound is much more important than video. You can have a mediocre video, but if the sound is crisp and clear, you're good. If the video is crisp and clear and the sound is like muffly, it's not going to get plays. So I think it's important to understand that too. But that's really what I would say. And then also having more of an omnipresent marketing tactic, right? So if you've mastered Instagram, let's build a Facebook group. Let's maybe start a podcast. Let's look at our sales funnel, right? Have you created lead magnets and opt-ins and ways to nurture people via email list, right? Because, you know, we're sending automated text, emails, multiple sequencing. Like when you come into my ecosystem, you're going to get hit from five different angles, right? And so if you're listening to my podcast, getting my email, seeing my post, you're spending 3 hours a day with Taylor. When you're ready to hire, you're going to hire Taylor, right? So it's like saturating all of their stuff, right? So that's my train of thought. And then in terms of ads, you can run ads a little bit earlier than I did, 100%. I waited until I hit seven figures, just so everyone is like clear. Like I did not use ads to get to seven figures. But I'm also a psychopath. And again, I have a really solid organic sales strategy. So if you have a team of ACs, I would say, why not run some ads to some lead magnets, but you're not running ads to your one-to-one offers, right? And I think, again, just to give you perspective, in the last, you know, month, I've had to re-record like 12 different ads, and I've updated sales pages and eat like it's almost a part-time job to run ads. So that's why I say don't do it early if you're not fully prepared to like bring in excellence and try and test, because ads are high risk because you test a lot and you lose a lot, right? Mm-hmm. You win, but you lose a lot. So keep that in mind.
I can personally I just wanted to talk about ads real quick. You know, made it to seven figures, decided, okay, let's go ahead and put the hammer down on some digital ads, brought a really good marketing company in, spent $20,000 testing, seeing what didn't work, and brought in $2,100. And this was over the course of 3 to 4 months. And this company is doing everything that they said they would do. Like I'm not going to get into why it didn't work, but like you said, high risk, right? Because you have to get something to hit and land. And my cheap ass, I was like, I'm fucking out of here. So we went back to an organic strategy and we grew 22% the next year in all of our businesses. But it was one of those things like I'm glad I never tried to do that early when I was still growing organically. So like, I'm a big believer in waiting if you can.
Absolutely. Again, it's that shiny object syndrome. Like, oh, well, my mentor's running ads and said it would work. Like, okay, great. But your mentor is probably not running the ads for you and dialing in the audience. You know, we tried to run ads before the $1 million mark. We played around with them for like 2 months and I hired an ads manager and she was great. But transparently, both her and I were like, you know what? I'm not at a place where I physically have the time to keep recording this stuff every week or updating my emails. Like it's literally a part-time job, truly. Like it really is. And some weeks there's like nothing. You know, we recently just discovered that we're down to like $2.50 per lead. So we're like cranking the ROAS right now, which is awesome. But like, that's going to change in 14 days, I'm sure, when cost per lead goes back up to 20, I'm going to have to re-record a bunch of shit. You know what I mean? So it's like understanding that if you can keep your profit margins as high as possible for as long as possible and build that capital, because that's the key when you're trying to scale past seven figures is how can you outspend your competitors? If you can saturate the market more than them, you win. Assuming your product is great, right? But that's really the game after the seven figure mark is who can dominate the ad industry, right?
Can I ask you another question here? Sorry if I'm stepping over you guys, Jason and Kayla. How many times do you see people get caught up in doing what other people are doing? And I'll give a perfect example, especially people that are making a lot more money and you get caught up into thinking you have to do that. For example, one of our main competitors in the supplement industry, they do a lot of influencer marketing and they throw a lot of money out to have influencers represent their stuff. And it pays off, right? We're still growing organically, but there's always, you see that stuff and people see the other stuff that's being put out there and they're like, fuck, I got to do that. How often are you seeing that in the people that you coach?
Daily. Okay, with my people that are earning a little bit more, I'm not going to say seven, but like, let's say, oh, I hit my first, I don't know, 200K year, right? Whatever, 250K, something like that. We start to get this shiny object around like downsells and apps. I'm like, you don't need an app. Like a $9 app is not going to get you there, right? Like just because Jessica375Fit on Instagram has an app and has 1 million followers, that makes sense for her, right?
Right.
But I think that we oftentimes forget, like we're comparing to influencers or just people in the industry that we don't know. And it happens across the board, like, but it creates paralysis. And that's why I'm saying, like, just unfollow these people if you start to think that or have this comparison, because to me, that is the biggest thing holding you back is the comparison and the paralysis. Like some people don't know how to work through stress. You know what I mean? They start to get stressed about where they're not, stressed about where they haven't gone yet. It's like, well, we, you know, think about anything you worry about just in general. Like if you, I mean, I think we all probably are type A's in this room. So like anytime you worry about something or stress about something, how many times has it ever actually happened? Like truly, most of the shit we stress about doesn't actually come true. So with that being said, you're wasting energy. And that's why I joke about always being uncomfortable. I stay moving so I don't slow down. You know? And so I think the comparison is the number one killer with the shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
Jason, you were going to have a question. Do you still remember it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, define a magnet lead.
Oh, a lead magnet? So that's just like something free that somebody can download, right? So whether it's a workshop, a template, something like that. And the whole purpose is that once they download that, there's going to be a string of emails attached to the back end that they're going to get over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe, depending on how long that is. And then if you've got a setter in your DMs or whatever, you're looking at who's opting in to that and then reaching out to them and starting conversations. And then that's what you would run ads to as well, are things like that. So we don't run ads. Well, we have a few, but we are not running ads directly to a program. We're running ads to little things that get them in and warm first.
Yep. Yep. Makes sense.
Okay. So kind of circling back to like your offer, because that's like a big thing that you touched on, was just having like one good offer. And you mentioned that earlier. So can you go over like how you necessarily scale that? You know, you talked about charging enough, like when to raise your rates. You know, when do you feel like you have to like add more to that to make it more valuable, kind of a thing?
I don't think you ever need to add more to make it more valuable. I mean, don't get me wrong. If like every client is asking about the same thing, maybe create a resource. But the scalability isn't always about units sold. The scalability is how can I sell the framework, right? So like, is the framework scalable? I mean, in terms of just like quite literally, can I scale this? If you're somebody doing weekly calls or even monthly calls, please cut those out. Like, that's not scalable. Literally, that's not. But if you're like, how do I take this offer and scale it to assistant coaches or teach other people? It's having some standard operating procedures around every single part of your offer, how you onboard a client. So if I come into Jason's business and I'm sitting next to him at his computer, right? I'm like, hey, Jason, I'm going to be you for the day. Teach me how to onboard a client and do a check-in. Jason's going to be like, okay, step one, step two, step three. Like, he has assistant coaches. So when they come in, they're like, here's the checklist, right? So that's when I think about the scalability of it is what can we automate? What can we delegate? What can we delete? Because ultimately, as you scale, not everything needs to be you. You know, I see a lot of coaches still doing onboarding calls. Why? Everything can be automated. You don't need to do that. So a lot of things that we're spending time on, we could obviously remove or just like automate, right? And that's where either a VA comes into play, having assistant coaches to offload those kinds of things. So when I think of scalability, like, of course, yes, price raise is part of it, but it's more of just like, what is the framework of your offer and how is that what you're actually promoting over time and scaling?
Right. Right. So with that, you know, and making things more efficient too, because I know I deal with that sometimes where I'm like, well, if I'm doing this check-in like faster, am I giving them the same quality? You know what I mean? Where like, I feel like it's not as good if I'm doing it quicker, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I always shoot for check-ins in terms of fitness coaching clients. I mean, if it's a brand new client who's got like a lot more questions, the lab review involved, like 15 minutes tops. Now, that's not the Loom video. That's me saying from the time you open up their stuff, look at it, send a Loom video, 15 tops. But you're really trying to get your check-ins down to like 10 minutes, 5 minutes maybe per client. And some people are like, oh my God, I'm spending 30 minutes per client. I'm like, what are you doing? Right? Well, I'm taking notes. I'm like, why are you taking notes? If it's all in a document or an app somewhere, you can scroll back and look at the email thread, look at the app. Like, you shouldn't be taking notes on every client. So I think a lot of this is like, I have to do so much. They don't leave me, right? It's like, if Jason sent me a 20-minute Loom video, I'd be like, respectfully, please don't do this again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time. Okay.
Most of my clients are like that. They don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with like, people talk about community too. Like, I want to create a community. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that I'm affiliated and associated with Jason's coaching company. But if he was like, all right, and this is so not him, but like, we're going to have a happy hour on Thursday, I'd be like, I'm not coming. Like, I hire Jason for Jason. I want community with Jason. I want my coach to know who I am always. I don't ever want to be just like a number on a roster. And like, that's always my goal. Now, Jason, how long he spends on my check-in has no change in my thought of him. You know what I mean? So I think that's important to remember too, Kayla, is like, if you can only do 20 check-ins in a day, we have a problem. Like, ideally, I would love it to be closer to like 30 or 40. Now, if you've been doing this for a long time, it might be more than that. But like, when I had 75 clients, that was Monday, Tuesday only. Because you have to have time in the week where your brain is not doing in business stuff. So I always talk about in and on business for efficiency, right? So in business is client check-ins, sales calls, client calls. On business is project planning, vision, KPI tracking, auditing, whatever the hell, project doing, you know what I mean? Everything else. And that's the problem with so many coaches scaling. They don't have time to actually think about their business. It's all do, fast, 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 more clients, right? And it's like, have you ever audited your shit? Have you audited your workflow? So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah. Which at the Nashville conference, you did mention the Toggle app about mm-hmm. like auditing your time. And I did download that and I started using it. So that's been helpful too.
Nice.
Because if everyone else is like me, you get an email and you get distracted and you're like, oh, then I gotta go do this. And then
turn your notifications off.
I need to do that. Sure.
That's a good point though. Seriously, I have zero notifications for anything work related because you will never forget to check your clients. You will never forget to check on them. And whether you, and I don't have like ADD or any of that stuff, but like if I'm working on something and I see Voxer, Slack, email, I'm like, oh shit, it's all waiting for me. And then I start to get stressed that I haven't opened it yet because I know it's waiting for me, right? So something that really helped me in the beginning, on the weekends, I would remove all of the apps to a second screen on my phone because you're like automatically program to like touch it. You know what I mean? You like, you know where the email is, you know where the feed for function is, you're like ready to hit it. And so I would move all of those apps to the second page on my home screen for the weekend so I wouldn't accidentally touch them.
That's a good idea. I like that. So then going into like sales and marketing too, like you know, what's some strategies and like how coaches can, you know, best market themselves? And right now, obviously in the industry, social media is that, but you hear from a lot of coaches that like, I just hate social media. Like what, how do you get over that? And like, what do you say to these people?
I literally just talked about this like yesterday, I think on my 2 days ago, I don't know. But if you hate social media, then why the hell are you running an online business? Like, I can't help you. I will tell you, I would not have social media if it weren't for my job. I love that. However, listen, coaching and being a damn good coach is great for retention and referrals. However, acquiring new clients and being a business owner, name one business that doesn't market. Like, I'll wait. Right? Like you have to do it. And sorry, you picked online. That means you're going to have to promote yourself. You know what I mean? In terms of a strategy, I mean, I'll try to answer this as simple as I can, but you know, don't create a cadence because a guru told you to post every day, right? When I first started my business, 3 posts a week was all I could do because they were quality. Now I'm doing twice a day, but that took me 5 years to get up to, right? But just know that you will never have less content than right now to produce, right? The more you scale it, you're going to have emails and podcasts and more posts. So like, understand too that engagement doesn't mean jack shit. The algorithm right now that everyone likes to talk about, it's very, very hard to get new followers and to crack the code right now. And I don't ever worry about comments or likes or any of that bullshit. What I care about is when I open my DMs, how many conversations am I having? Because I don't have even 10,000 followers, you know, and my posts probably get like anywhere from 50, 75 likes, whatever, but I'm getting hot leads that send me my own stuff and say, did you write this about me today? And it's like, remember that your content is for them, right? So I always say have reels and have carousel posts. Carousels are going to be really great for educating your current audience. Reels are great for new reach. And when I talk about reels, I don't mean the trending bullshit. I'm talking about like original audio. So if Jason's doing a green screen with before and afters, like that kind of stuff is gold. I think that we forget, you know, in terms of like technicality, we forget that like people ask, how do I scale? Well, do you even like your content? Like, you know, if your content sucks, like, you know, your content shit if it's shit, right? I think people forget that. And so maybe this is like the journalist in me, but how do you get so specific and relevant, right? Like, how can you be so damn specific? If any of you look at my Instagram, every single post, it was almost written for one person. So instead of saying like, we, you guys, right? Talk to you, me, you, right? Instead of anything else. And that way somebody watching your story is going to feel a little victimized or going to feel targeted. That's not a bad thing, right? But ultimately the goal is if somebody clicks on your thing, post, story, whatever, they're going to think, holy shit, did Kayla write this for me? Because I literally thought that today, right? And when you're talking to like a group or something like that, it doesn't feel that way. Instagram is very much a one-to-one type of platform.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. And I think with that too, with the speaking to information, it can't necessarily always just be so general, you know, because otherwise like it just, you lose people and you have to have that catching intro line to get their attention. Cause isn't it like people only pay attention for the first like 2 to 3 seconds and then they're like gone.
Yeah. 2 seconds. And that was, I just remember being in news, having to write like our web stories at the end of the day or whatever to put our stories with. And like, yeah, like you have to kind of have clickbaity stuff. That's not saying fake. I'm just saying, you know, clickbaity stuff. So I always write my leads last. I might have a headline that I like, but then once I get the full content piece out, I'm like, what was the spiciest line that I wrote? Or what was like the most off the wall thing? And then I'll put that first and lead with that. But for example, instead of being like, instead of just the boring ass before and after photo, right? Save that for slide 2 and say, how Taylor dropped 45 pounds after suffering from adrenal insufficiency for 3 years, right? Like that, oh, well, I want to know because I've been doing it too, swipe, right? How so-and-so, you know, cut 7 jean sizes in 90 days with this one hack. You know what I mean? Little things like that. Oh, I want to see. I think coaches just put some shit up there and hope for the best. And you know, remember when we were all like younger, we'd come home from school and our parents would say, how was your day? And we'd be like, fine, mom, right? Like if you ask a general thing, you get a general response. If you put general out there, you're not repelling anybody. Strong content attracts and repels. So always keep that in mind too. People should clearly be able to say, Kayla is not the coach for me. John is not the coach for me. Or holy fuck, Jason is the coach for me, right? You shouldn't be like, eh, they're okay.
Yep, exactly. I think that goes with your niche audience too, where you can hit their pain points. So,
yep.
Last little thing to chat about is you have this thing called your rule of one. You know, one, you talk about one audience, one message, and creating one call to action. So can you expand upon that and what that means for our listeners?
Yeah. And like, just to kind of take that out of context, I think it made more sense in the way the presentation worked. But ultimately, what I'm saying is you cannot be a jack of all trades. So if you're just starting out in the coaching space, please don't niche down so far, because I see this all the time. The whole functional thing is so big. Everyone wants to be functional now because that word is really trendy. But here's the deal. If you've never had a single client in your life, please do not like immediately start investing in all of these amazing courses and whatnot, because you're going to get so overwhelmed and stressed about like what you have to know or think you should do. And again, that's not me saying don't invest in Jason, because you absolutely should. This course is great, but you're going to get paralyzed with all of this stuff and think that you're just not good enough to be a coach, right? If you have to start with the basics and show somebody how to read a food label and get them accountable and accountability and all that stuff, like start there. So the rule of one is mastering one transformation, knowing that's going to scale over time, understanding that that one transformation has multiple storyboards with it, right? So when I say one transformation, I mean, you know, fixing PCOS or weight loss or helping moms with, you know, kids under two lose weight, like whatever it is, you can get as specific as you want. But generally speaking, you're not an expert in prep and fat loss and this and that. Some of you are, but you've been doing it for decades. It's a very different story. And so I think when you're coming in, you're comparing yourself to a Jason and you're thinking, well, that's the level I have to be at to enter this space. No, it's not, right? You just have to be two steps ahead of somebody. So that's the rule of one, is mastering one thing really, really well. And then in terms of the call to action, right, like having one offer, the call to action is working with you privately. It's not, you know, an app for this, a downsell for this, a course here, like getting really good at one thing.
Perfect. Yeah. I think that's also where a lot of people go wrong, is they want to like niche down right away, but they just don't have the clientele. And I personally think that working with Gen Pop to begin with, and even in person, helps a ton to begin with coaching. Like that's what I did. And it helped me a lot with like communication skills and just, you know, how to explain things correctly too. So.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of us, you know, get into coaching, and because maybe we've had a coach forever, like I've had an online coach since 2014. Like I practice what I preach every step of the way. And when I started getting clients, I remember thinking, God, I don't want the basic people that like don't even know what a macro is, but that's what I got because I hadn't built authority in the space. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have the knowledge. I knew I did, but no one else knew it. And because no one else knows it, you don't have it. You don't have the authority. And so when you're entering a new space, you have to earn that shit. You don't walk in as a CEO of a company. You start here, then slowly step up and earn your way. And I think that we become an entrepreneur and put that hat on and we think, oh, we deserve the world. You don't deserve shit. You have to earn that. You know,
I love that.
This has been a great episode. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on. We want to let our listeners know, just check out the show notes. We'll have all Taylor's contact information here. I know you work with some of my clients on the business end as well. So like the thing about us in this podcast is we try and all do business together, or bring people on that we know and trust. And Taylor is definitely within our circle here. So thanks again for coming on, Taylor. To everybody listening, we're back in the saddle, locked and loaded, and we're going to be coming your way with these masterclass series, the PowerPoint presentations, and some one-off episodes. So we are ready to go. For myself, Taylor, Jason, and Kayla, we're out of here. See you guys soon.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah.